3 o'clock, your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler with Jamie Rivers. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by our guy, Matt Holliday, former Cardinals slugger, right here on 101 ESPN. And Matt, I think we have to ask you this every single time. Did me do an okay job with that return?
That wasn't my favorite one.
I knew it. I had money on that one, Matt. I was like, no way. I said, he's not going to like that, Meat.
That had a little too much of Brad's kind of yelly, kind of like evil, kind of darkness to it.
Anger.
There was some hatred in some of that. So, okay. Not my favorite. I appreciate all the right. effort, but.
All right, we'll keep building your playlist.
Yeah, me, drop the hit. Just less hatred, more.
Right. Yeah, ask that one.
I'll be better next time.
I doubt it, but still, I appreciate your effort.
Matt Holliday joining us right now on 101 ESPN. Matt, before we dive into the baseball, you know, I've any chance I get to talk to you about football, I want to do so. So Oklahoma and Texas, they want out. Oklahoma State can just run the Big 12 now.
I don't think it's even going to exist. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we only have like 9, I think, we're not really a Big 12 anyways. Like, we're just kind of getting away with that moniker without actually having that many teams. And you take 2 more away, I think we're going to be – it's going to be interesting to see which direction we go as far as what Oklahoma State does. So, this is kind of – you know, I think they've been kind of out doing some side business in the last 6 months. It turns out Texas and OU have been planning this sort of getaway. So it'll be interesting. It's all kind of, you know, new. But yeah, I'm it's going to be interesting where Oklahoma State ends up.
I kind of hope they just do away with the conferences. I don't think they ever will.
How the heck would they do that, Andy?
I don't, but I just, look, Jamie, I don't care. Just get it done.
But you can't just say things. Give me an answer.
I could do it. We're in sports radio. That's the whole gig. You just say whatever you want.
No.
There's no repercussions.
No, you don't do
that.
Yeah,
you don't have to have any reasoning.
Exactly.
Matt, don't side with him. Come on.
You can never let the facts get in the way of a good story. I mean, everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Matt, the further away you get from baseball, the more that you come to the dark side, you get it, my man.
You get it.
Matt Holliday joining us right now on 101 ESPN. Matt, the Cardinals are warming up here. They won, five of their last 7 games since the All-Star break. The one the other night got away from them. But one of the guys that has just been on fire has been Harrison Bader. When you watch Harrison Bader, what's the ultimate upside there?
You know, I think he's always been a guy where you kind of the defense and the speed, and he's able to offer value, and then the hitting was kind of just icing on the cake. But he is strong, and he at times has been able to drive the ball and hit some home runs. So it was a little bit of a kind of out and around swing, a little bit just, you know, kind of coming up, kind of a easy to pitch to kind of swing as far as, you know, if you locate your pitches down in a way, you'd have a hard time. It looks to me like he's cleaned a little bit of that up. Like, he's getting more balls. He's hitting the breaking ball better. I'm sure the stats back that up because, you know, I think for a while teams were just throwing him all breaking balls and sort of kind of exploiting that down and away region. But it looks like he's made some adjustments. And like I say, he's a phenomenal athlete. And so you hope when you have that kind of athletic ability and you have that kind of you know, that he could make adjustments and that he could maybe change his swing a little bit and be able to cover more pitches. And, you know, he's been doing that lately. So, again, you know, it's great to have a guy with that kind of speed to get on base more often. And so I think his on-base percentage is up. And he adds the element of stealing the base and scoring from first on a double. That kind of athlete, you know, with Tyler O'Neill, you know, you start to look at in the outfield with Carlson, you start to envision this outfield that's very hard to get hits and doubles and shoot the gap on. So it's been fun to watch. They're going to need, you know, if he can stay healthy, you know, I think that's another thing, you know, and that's not always been his fault, you know, just kind of random things. So he obviously offers a dynamic in center field and in the batting order that's rare.
Speaking of some of the guys in the outfield, Dylan Carlson in his first full season of Major League Baseball, and he's been moved to the leadoff position. And some people were lukewarm on the idea, But his OBP kind of backs it up. He's tied for the league or for the team lead at 341 with Paul Goldschmidt, which is pretty good company to be in. How impressive is that for a rookie to be in the leadoff spot in these situations where it's not a ferocious lineup top to bottom, and he's got to get the job done, but he's getting on base.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is impressive, and I think that people forget how young Dylan is, and I'm speaking for myself. I think he handles himself in such a way, I think he has a very calm, cool demeanor to him. I've really enjoyed kind of watching him and getting to know him a little bit, and he just has a very level head, level kind of just, you know, things don't seem to get to him, don't seem to bother him moving to the leadoff spot, doesn't seem to have changed his approach. I think his ceiling is really high. Like that swing he hit the ball he hit last night was really impressive, and you know, the upside of his power, and like I said, he's only 22 years old. You know, typically most 22-year-olds are either right out of college or you know, if you're a high school kid, you're still maybe in double A and maybe, you know, you're still trying to figure things out. And for him to be producing at the major league level, batting leadoff, and you know, I think ideally, you know, as a leadoff hitter, getting closer to the 370, 360, 380 range and on-base percentage would be ideal, which I think, you know, eventually he'll get to. But, you know, to put up a 340, you know, hopefully get to 350 on-base percentage would be, you know, be really good for the Cardinals, because if you can get guys on base in front of, especially the way Goldie's swinging it and Nolan and, you know, you get guys on in front of them, you've got a chance to score in bunches. And I think that really helps starting pitchers. You know, when you put up a 2 or 3, 4 spot, you allow starting pitchers to go out and relax a little bit and be able to pitch. So it's important. His role on the team right now is probably as important as anybody's.
You want to talk about your boy here, Nolan Arenado, a little bit. I'm so impressed with how good he is defensively. And I know that shouldn't be a surprise, right? Yeah. But I'm looking at, 8 gold gloves for this guy.
Yeah.
But, man, the stuff he's been doing in the last, you know, week to 10 days, he makes it look simple. Mm-hmm. How hard is it for somebody at third base to make it look that easy? How much work does it take?
You know, I think that I've told people this before, but when I got to play in 18, when I went back with the Rockies and finished the last 6 or 7 weeks with them, I was so impressed. I guess from afar, you think he's a great defender, but until you watch him on a day-to-day basis and you literally watch him every game and just kind of watch all the great plays he makes and the different kind of plays, whether it's a pop-up down the line or, you know, he just makes unbelievable, especially now in the day of the shift where he's playing out of position, some plays and some hitters, he's playing shortstop. So it's amazing to watch him. But then when you watch the work every day, immediately, I'm not surprised. You know, I think one thing that he does that I haven't really seen a bunch of in my playing career is he practices the crazy jump throws, and he practices the throws from the ground. He practices, you know, running down the line, catching pop-ups. Like, he practices things on a daily basis where a lot of guys will kind of go through the motions and take the typical easy grounders and the right at you, and then a few to the backhand and a few to the forehand, and you know, and then kind of call it a day and then go into the game and feel, you know, like you're going to make the routine plays, which is fine. But I've never seen anybody practice a spectacular play like I saw him practice a spectacular play every day, and which can be hard on your body. But I think it's that important to him that he practices all those things that you see in the games. And that's what's fun. I watch him take infield before a game, and it's incredible, like watching him do the things that he does.
Matt Holliday joining us right now on the Fastlane on 101 ESPN with Jamie Rivers. I'm Anthony Stalter. Matt, yesterday I was talking about how, you know, Cardinals fans are very protective of the word ace. And I've often said, like, well, Jack Flaherty, he's your ace. And some people would push back on that.
Be careful, Anthony.
I know. And really, Matt, all I was talking about was he right now is the number one pitcher when he was healthy. But after watching what Adam Wainwright has done this year, I understand why Cardinals fans are protective of the word ace. I mean, this guy, every single time, everybody's running out of the burning building, and he calmly is like, I got it, no problem. He goes back in. Every single time he starts, seemingly after a loss. The other night, he's got to start after the 6-1 collapse, and he's just been there each and every time he takes the mound. When you were in St. Louis, what did you used to marvel at with Adam Wainwright, either on the hill or in the clubhouse?
Well, as you guys know, Adam's one of my best friends. And so, you know, when you talk about ace, for me, you know, an ace is a guy, you know, that every time he goes out on the mound, I think there's just this calmness and this expectation of he's going to pitch 6, 7, 8 innings, and he's going to give up maybe 1, maybe 2 runs, and we're going to have a great chance to win, and the bullpen's going to get a break, and we'll probably just need our closer. It'll be 7 or 8 innings of the starter, maybe the setup guy and the closer, and we're going to win this game. And we're, you know, extremely confident going in. As an offense, we can relax a little bit if we've been pressing and know that it's not going to take much for us to win. And so I think that to me, that's the definition of the ace. And Waino has been doing that a long time. And so this year, it's incredible. I think for me, coming off a couple years ago when his elbow was bothering him and he took that big dip in velocity was talking about, you know, if this keeps up, I can't pitch like this. So to see where he was a couple years ago and just talking to him and how sore and kind of just on the edge of retirement to where he is now, which is back to, like you talked about, like every time he takes the ball, you feel great about your chance to win. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter how the team's playing. When Adam's on the mound, you feel great about how, you know, you just have that feeling that we're going to win. And so, it goes back to the work ethic, the time he puts in between starts, just the routine that he's come up with over the years, and how much it means to him. It really does. It means a ton to him. Like, he takes it very personal. He takes it very serious. He loves the competition of it. He's a fierce competitor. It's one of those guys. And you know, that's all just on the field stuff. That's never mind the leadership and the work ethic and then all the stuff that he does in the clubhouse and the way that he talks to his teammates and helps younger pitchers. And I could go on and on. I think the city of St. Louis knows how, you know, amazing Adam is and what a blessing it is to get to watch him for all these years and have him be part of your organization. So I'm not going to really say anything that other people, you know, haven't said or know, but it's just to me, you know, at his age and just kind of all the innings that he's thrown to still be that great of a pitcher is a testament to who he is as a person and a worker.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam Wainwright's one of my favorite guys to watch play. But enough about baseball. Let's get into some important stuff, Matt. Let's get into the fighting again. I feel like you're one of my only guys on here that we can really dive deep into this. And Brad Barnes, lovable meat here, our producer, engineer, and damn good guy too. He wanted to know, Matt Holliday, what kind of a fighter is Matt Holliday? And, like, what's your signature move? Is it the leg sweep? Is it the poke in the eye, the knee to the crotch, the bull charge? We gotta get into, like, some of your mixed martial arts. Like, what are they?
You know, I'm not going to pretend to be much of a fighter. But we have this big guy on our staff. His name is Hub. And he's about... He's about 360, but he wants to wrestle a lot, right? So he likes to mess with me, and so we wrestle occasionally. And so I have to do is once I get him on the ground, he's toast. But, so I try to get around the side of him because if I can get my arms around the backside of him and this kind of like, I don't know, just kind of ride him to the ground, he's in trouble. So he tries to lean on me a little bit, but once I get I can kind of squeeze around him and then kind of lean on him, I can take him down and then he's toast. Like I end up, you know, doing the typewriter on his chest. So that's my move currently with Hub. I'm like I said, I'm not can't speak from a ton of experiences with fighting, but when I wrestle Hub, I try to get him down on the ground and then. I give him the typewriter.
All right, so there we go. So in the scouting report now for me, we're going to write down he's more of a wrestler, likes to get the takedown, and then it's ground and pound. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's what I'd say.
We keep expanding this scouting report on you. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, I think I could probably do the chokehold pretty well too. I've got some big meaty forearms and biceps. If I get somebody in the chokehold, I feel like I'm pretty good, probably in a good spot.
The old anaconda, just start tightening that thing up.
Yes.
All right.
I think that'd probably be my move.
All right. There we go. We'll add that one, too.
Matt, you've accomplished a lot in your career. World Series champion. Just unbelievable numbers. Did you ever think that at any point you would reach the height of your life by talking to Jamie and I about what sort of moves you would put on a guy named Hub.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's where I'm at these days. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a lot going on, guys. Like, yeah. Really, you know, especially right now, the college guys are all gone. We're kind of in a little break with my boys with baseball. And so, yeah, I'm just kind of thinking about my moves on Hub next time. And,
yeah.
You know, get to talk to you guys about it. I'm actually flattered to get to talk about it. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm in a good spot.
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, you know,
game winning homers to talking about the choke move on Hub. Not quite what it used to be, but
every time,
you know, we all get older.
It's the small victories that count. That's
yeah.
all.
Every time
we hang up with you, Matt, I just think to myself, when BT's not on, Matt Holliday must think to himself, Brad sold me a bill of goods because he's never on. And then I've got to talk to these two idiots, Jamie and Anthony. I played baseball. Jamie wants to talk to me about fighting, and Anthony wants to talk to me about football. So this must be good for you.
No, I actually appreciate it. You know, I think Brad sold y'all a bill of goods, like telling y'all he'd be on the show and stuff. Whoever's given, you know, I mean, he doesn't really work there much, so I don't know. I don't know how he's pulling this off, but good for him.
He's a superstar, Matt. He is. He's a superstar here.
He probably acts like he's off doing research and stuff and getting ready for the game tonight. He's at the pool. I mean, got to be, right? I mean, he's not really doing
fully sunscreened, though,
oh,
Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Pale skin.
He's been dipped in zinc.
That's amazing.
Matt, have a great weekend. We always appreciate the conversations. And next week, I don't know who's going to be on the show. I'm typically on the show, Matt, so I'll at least talk to you. But hopefully Jamie and BT are here.
I'm going to go work on some moves, Jamie. I've got this the wrestling coach here at OSU. He loves Ultimate Fighting. He's good friends with Daniel Cormier. So maybe I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go learn a new move for you next week.
All right. All right. Let's do that. We'll go over that. We'll build up a repertoire for you so that old Hub doesn't stand a chance.
He's toast.
Nice. All right. Report back to us. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Thanks. It's Matt Holliday here in the Fastlane on 101 ESPN.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.